I mean, I've just been sneezing a lot.
Yeah, might be a cold.
I don't know.
All have caught a cold on the bus. We just got off the bus.
I know. I was like, there was dust on these cameras because that's how long it's been since we've recorded
in this studio.
Well, and that always makes me sneeze.
My attitude out the gate is that I've averaged a cold every other week since November.
You really have.
It's so dumb.
You really have.
It's real dumb. And I'm like, I try to like fortify my immune system and I don't get it.
I mean, it's the nature of what we do. We're all over the place and you can't control how other people are taking care of themselves and what they're... I guarantee every show that you've had, somebody is sick.
Oh, for sure.
Every show. I guarantee it.
I mean, I'm also part of the problem.
A crew, an attendant.
Because I went to the Laker game last night and I had a cold.
I went to a show last night.
So we're all part of the problem.
We're all part of the problem. And this is why we had a global pandemic.
Probably. And I'm like, look, if I had a fever, I would have stayed home.
I genuinely still kind of think mine is allergies.
But I'm congested. And I have a runny nose. That's what's happening. I'm not coughing. I'm not sneezing. I'm congested and I have a runny nose. And we got invited to the Laker game. My friend was singing the national anthem. And it was courtside tickets and like dinner reservations at their schmancy restaurant that they have at the arena. And I didn't even know that was there. So I'm like, I'm not going to not go because I have a runny nose. Sorry. Yeah. Here I come.
Yeah.
So I'm part of the problem.
Same.
Even though I'd sit here and be like, oh, look at that person with a cold out in public. And I know I've done it before.
I mean, I went to a sold out show at the Pantages.
What was your show you went to?
Book of Mormon, which I had never seen. And that is like a fever dream of a show. That is wild and hilarious and super inappropriate.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But also very good.
Yeah, I saw it on Broadway a long time ago.
Yeah. And the obviously it's the main characters are these two Mormons, these guys, but they go to this African village and there is a girl there that is the main character. And she, the actress who performed, phenomenal, insane voice. She was so good that the whole time I kept picturing her in other roles that I wanted to see her in because I loved her voice so much. And I was like, hold on. I was like, she needs to be Eponine in Les Mis. She needs to be Allie in The Notebook. Like all these different roles were just like filtering through my head. I love live theater so much. And when there's someone that's insanely talented, I'm like, what else? More. Give me more.
Like, you want to be their agent? You're like, put her in this.
You know what else she'd be good at? Get her a Moulin Rouge. You know, like she just was so, she blew me away. Everyone was great. The entire cast was phenomenal, but she just stuck out to me.
What's her name? We don't know her name.
I think her name was Charity. Forgot the rest. But she's currently in the touring production of The Book of Mormon.
My friend last night who sang the national anthem was Simba in Lion King.
Yeah. You've talked about, okay, so this is who you saw.
He told a really great story that he's told to me before, and I forgot because I have a really bad memory, especially after having Rosie. But so we met because Manny was in Group One Crew. This is long time ago. So Manny and I have been married 14 years, going on 15, and we were just dating at this time. And Manny is in Group One Crew. He's in Kentucky doing a show. And he has a driver driving him around to different TJ Maxx's and Ross's because he's looking for a cross necklace.
Sure.
Yeah. He's looking for some bedazzle. And so Darian was assigned to him to drive. So he's taking him all around because he's working for the production of the Winter Jam or whatever Christian concert.
Yeah.
Manny was there to perform at. And so he's like, you had me driving you. I think we went to like six different stores looking for a cross necklace. And then at the end, you ended up giving me one. Like, you bought a couple necklaces and you gave one to me. And he's like, and I still have it. And I was like, oh my God, that is the sweetest story ever. And he was like, and then we went and picked you up from the airport talking about me. And I was like, wait, I'm in the story too? Like, I didn't remember, like, meeting him back in the day. But all that to say, like, he was the driver for the artist at that concert. And then here we are, however many years later, now with him at his sound check to sing the national anthem at the Lakers game. And, you know, he had a book signing the day before and was, like just watching him thrive in his career, going from, like, just being the driver for us, you know? I thought that was, like, such a cool story. And that's one of the things that he was talking about in his book was it's, like, these little moments that can change the trajectory of your life. And it's all about these just little moments that all of a sudden it changes this, changes that, whatever. And I don't know, just to have these, like, full circle moments is really special. And then Manny told him his story, which I've shared on this podcast before, but it's still such a powerful story about when Manny graduated college, summa cum laude, you know, just, like, really smart guy. All of his friends went on to work these really prestigious, like, corporate jobs. They're at, you know, NBC and, you know, all these different networks and doing, like, big stuff. And Manny went on to be a balloon man to make balloon animals at the restaurants near Disney World in Orlando. And he made these balloons for this one family at the table. And he was like, yeah, I'm a music artist. And they bought his CD. He burned his own CDs back in the day, and they bought his CD. And years later, they end up working his merch table at one of his concerts. And she's like, wait a minute, did you ever do balloon animals in Orlando? And then the whole thing of being like, we bought your CD, blah, blah, blah. And, like, you won't remember, my kids were little, you made them balloon animals, but that's them now. And they were all, the whole family was working his merch table, and they had no idea that this was the guy that was doing balloon animals for them. So it's, like, one of those, like, another full circle moment. And I think those are so special and powerful because it reminds you of, like, how far you've come, what God's doing in your life. And it's almost like a sweet little gift from God to have those moments and hear those stories. It's almost like a sweet little present. Like, he gives you a little, here you go, just this is for you, because it feels so good and so special. Do you have any full circle moments?
I mean, us.
It's
It's really
I forgot.
For I mean, I remember I first, you were one of the first comedians that I ever knew of or knew what stand up was, and I also really admired that you did clean comedy. When I was starting out, I was taking a bunch of acting classes in Dallas, and I really enjoyed being funny. So naturally, my acting coach never gave me anything funny. He was like, let's push your boundaries, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay.
Let's stretch.
And I remember they were like, you should do stand up. You should do stand up. And they're like, get up there. And I was like, and say what? What do you want me to, like, no one, everyone kept telling me to do something, but no one would tell me how. And I was very, like, they're like, you could do it. And I'm like, I don't, what do I do? They're like, just start talking. And I'm like, that doesn't feel right. I was like, be more specific. But this was in Texas. And I think your comedy special might have been one of the first ones that I'd watched. And was like, oh, what's this? And you're like, that's how we do it, one. And then I started watching, but there weren't, I feel like, at least when I was in high school and college, there weren't a lot of female comedians that were making a name for themselves. It was you, Amy Schumer, I think right around Nikki, Eliza had some stuff. But a lot of it was like, there were other female comedians that I remember my parents were like, wow, it was raunchy, too raunchy, you know, and it just, it was just a lot of dudes. I watched a lot of Jeff Foxworthy and a lot of Southern guys. And then there was also this one guy from the Gaither Vocal Gospel Band, Mark Lowry. I think I've talked about him before. I think I talked about him with Gabe Gibbs. He had done, he used to, I guess whenever they would perform, he would talk in between their songs. Everyone was like, you're funny, do some stand-up. And yeah. So then he started doing it, and I watched his. Anyway, I thought I wanted to work in the music industry, and I wanted to be kind of like A&R. I loved music. I loved going to concerts. I loved going to small stuff. I wanted to be the person that saw somebody and was like, that's the next big thing. Uh-huh. Let me help me figure it out. Whatever. Got an internship at a radio station. Thought I wanted to be a radio DJ for a hot minute. Hated all of it. Loved who I worked with. Hated everything else about it. But I got to work at Celebrate Freedom in Dallas, Texas, which was kind of like a winter jam. It was a big Christian concert place. It was like the largest free Christian concert in the nation or whatever. And I loved it. I helped 2 years. I worked for Celebrate Freedom through the radio station. And I loved it so much. I loved live entertainment. Turns out I just loved live entertainment, mm-hmm. I think is the through line here. And couldn't figure out what to do with it. And I was the producer for the night show. And Andrea Jackson was who I worked for. And I mostly just spent the day with her. But there was this moment when I went into the green room. And there was, it was a large green room. They had catering. It was a mix of crew and people performing. It was just an open space where Michael W. Smith was back there, uh-huh. like just random whoever. And I saw one of the interns, and it was the only person I knew. And he was talking to this tall guy with an afro. And I knew the intern. Don't remember his name now. Ryan? I don't know. Hunter? Could have been. So I just go over and I sit next to him because he's the only person I know. And I just start listening in on this conversation he's having with this guy. And this guy is just talking about, yeah, like when I moved to LA, blah, blah, blah. Because the intern, he wanted to be a musician. And so they're talking music, blah, blah, blah. And but he's talking about moving to LA. And I was like, oh man, I've been thinking about moving to LA. Like and I'm sitting there and I'm going, is this like the third person who's talked about moving to LA? Like I'm really starting to see it as a sign, mm-hmm, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think that's where I'm supposed to go. And so then I just chime in because it's a conversation. So I just chime in and I go, oh, I think I'm going to move to LA. And this guy is talking.
And it goes, cricket, cricket.
No. But I remember he's just saying like, oh, you got to save up money. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what do you want to do? And at that point, I knew I wanted out of radio. And I was like, I think I really want to work in television. I would love to work in sitcoms. I want to go work in comedy television. And he goes, oh, my wife's a comedian. And I was like, sick. That's so awesome. Like,
oh, so we were married at this time.
Yes. Oh, okay, so you're okay. Already married. Yeah. Because
let me adjust the vision in my head.
2014. This uh-huh, is when this is.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Who is it? I don't know who this guy is. Yeah. I'm like, what's going on? And then finally the intern's like, oh, this is Manny, Group One Crew. I'm like, oh, I know that because I've been playing their song on the uh-huh. radio. And I was like, oh, you're the guy. Cool. Uh-huh. Yeah. Awesome. And he just is like, yeah, yeah, my wife, she does comedy. He goes, hit me up on Facebook when you move out. And I was like, okay, sure. I don't know this guy. I was like, what? All right. And he also was like, made a big deal. He was like, you got to save up $10,000. And I was like, that is, I think, more than I make in a year. Like that's $10,000 at that time. I was making $10 an hour working at this radio station. And so my brain was like, that is an astronomical amount of money that I will never be able to save up. And then he goes, yeah. And before he walked off, he was like, yeah, look up my wife, Angela Johnson. And I was like, I know her. That's your wife? She's married? Like, I didn't even know. Uh-huh. I was going, all right. And then again, I kind of was just, I took it as I got to move to LA. And then I want to say an hour later, I run, so random, I run into the former youth worship pastor from my church who is now out trying to be a musician himself. Uh-huh. And it's weird because it's someone I knew when I was in high school. Now I'm 24, 23, and I'm like, hello, person that used to be in charge of me, I uh-huh. guess. This is weird. But I mentioned that I was thinking about moving, and before I even said LA, he goes, LA, you should go to LA. And I was like, all right, Lord. Uh-huh. I see what you're doing.
Say less.
Say less. So I try to save up $10,000. And a year later, when I hit, I had
$700.
I had $800. And I said, good enough. Good enough. I'll make it work. I'll figure it out. And I did. I figured it out. And then I moved in 2015. I started doing stand-up in 2016. Met Jesse. She drops the story I've told where she's just like, oh, my friend Ange. And I'm like, who? And then she goes, oh, you know, Angela Johnson. And I said, this is so weird. And so it's just, there's like this really weird, if you believe in the invisible string theory, you know, I even have an old journal letter where I talk about my favorite comedians and I talk about you before I'd met you.
Wow.
And so it's just so bizarre. And for years too, Jesse was like, Jackie's gonna leave, Jackie's gonna leave, you should work, you should just take her job. And I again was like, you've been saying this for years. Like, I at this point I was very well off within my unscripted. I at this point I was a producer, and I was like, I'm killing it, dude. Like, what do I need? I don't need, like, you keep saying that, I'll believe it when I see it. And then of course COVID happens and I'm out of a job for several months. But I actually had just picked back up work right when Jesse had texted me and was like, she left. Get in there.
Go.
And I was like, I just started on a new show. Like, what do you mean? Like, I just got this incredible gig, like, which I did finish. And yeah, so that's just kind of a weird, like, you've just always sort of been in my life in a weird way.
So interesting.
And it's very interesting. And it's very, you know, they say don't meet your heroes, and I agree. And just kidding. But it is so weird to think that you were one of the first people that I, when I was learning what stand-up comedy was, because it wasn't like a none of my friends knew, like, we were theater kids, we thought comedy was improv, you know. And
then you've become like my right hand.
Yeah, it's very
so cool.
It's weird. What a cool, it's so weird,
odd thing.
Yeah,
to happen.
I can't help but to think that it was that.
Oh yeah,
you know, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't
100%.
And I'm like, it can only be explained by just truly divine intervention.
Yeah.
And just moving when I did, being where I was supposed to be, meeting who I was supposed to meet. Mm-hmm. This wasn't, I came into LA with a different plan, as most everyone does.
Yeah.
And nothing I wanted came true. Nothing I wanted happened, but stuff that I never could imagine happened instead, which I think is so cool. I think it's so, it's more fun that way.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, I could say that in my own way as well. I moved to Hollywood to be a dramatic actress.
Exactly.
I still have yet to pop off as a dramatic actress.
Yeah.
I started doing stand-up comedy. I didn't want to be a stand-up comedian, but this is my life, and it's so much better than what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like sometimes God, like, we say what we want. And like, we say, like, these are the desires of my heart, God. And then God's like, yeah, girl, go for it, right? Like, I'm right here with you. Let's go. But it's almost like he knows, like, you said, this is the desire of my heart, A, right? And he's like, yeah, girl, go get A. Not because he knows that you're going to get A, but he knows that you got to go through, like, this step, this step, this step to get to here. But really, I need you to get to C. C is the part that I have for you.
Yes.
That is going to just blow your mind. So if you need to just be hyped up on A for a long time, girl, get hyped up. I'm right here with you. Yes, girl. A is going to be fire, girl. Yes. But really, it's because he knows he got to get me over here to C. And he's like, just keep going, girl. Just keep going. And then next thing you know, like, you hit A. Or sometimes you don't even get A. Sometimes you just bypass A and mm-hmm. you're over here at C and you're like, oh, I never got A. And God be like, this is like me talking about my own life now. I never got A. He's like, yeah, but girl, look at C. C's bomb. Yeah. And I'd be like, I know, but what about A? And he'd be like, nah, girl, no, be happy with C. C mm-hmm. is better. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, you're right. C is better. But look how cute A is. Like my whole career.
I know. I'm like, the whole time I go, but I would still love to uh-huh. be a part of a sitcom. Yeah. I would still. Like, it's, I know it, there's there's an old Pinterest saying, if you will.
Get out of here,
that
Pinterest.
That I once saw that was like,
Pinterest 5 verse 10 says. Yeah, yeah.
Pinterest 5:10 said, on the way to the dream, I got lost and found a better one.
Ooh.
And I, but I remember when I first saw that, I was like, hold on. Speaking word right uh-huh, here, right uh-huh. here. Because it's so true in that I have learned so much about myself, and I have learned, again, there are times where you think you want something and then you get into it and you realize, oh, this isn't what I thought.
100.
Like 100% with radio. I was so gung-ho. I interviewed at multiple. I applied to 3 different radio internships, got all 3, and I was like, I'm a queen. Uh-huh. Like, yes, I'm the goat. I can pick what I want.
Uh-huh.
And then I worked there for 1.5 years, and I no offense to radio people, but I was like, this sucks. You guys like this? I'm mm-hmm. not a fan, not into this. But it's what I thought I wanted. And I can't even imagine. I'm so grateful that my dad too was always so incredibly supportive, because I remember telling him, I was like, this is what I've worked my entire life for, and I hate it.
Mm.
What have I done?
Mm.
And I remember my dad being like, you're young, quit. Just go find something else. And he did. He sat me down and he very much was like, Danielle, like, let's think about this. If money wasn't a factor, he goes, you're in a position. He goes, I can't pay your rent, right? I'm still living at home at this point. But he very much was like, if money wasn't an issue, what would you be doing? Write it down. He was like, write down what do you want to do? What do you love to do? And I had multiple things. And he was the one too, where he's looking at it and he goes, yeah, LA makes sense. Just go out there and see. Just, and he goes, you can always come home. He goes, I can't pay your rent. He goes, but I'll keep your room nice and toasty, you know, like, and I know that I'm so privileged to have that. And so it almost would do my dad a disservice if I hadn't just gone for it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I once sold clothes to Buffalo Exchange to pay for groceries. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's moments where I was real skinny, and it's because I couldn't afford food. And, you know, that's how, and you know what? And that's how the rich people used to be, is because they're, you know, real curvy. Not that I'm rich, but I don't know where I was going with this, I'll be honest, but you know, feeling good.
Yeah.
So, it's incredible. It's insane how, you know, I love a saying, and there was always one too. There's a whole book about it, I think I read, that was like, let God write your story. I think it was more about relationships, like, let God write your love story. But I think it applies to your whole life, of just, he's the ultimate author and he's the ultimate creator. And I can sit here and dream up of all these things, and somehow he's still going to dream of something better.
Mm.
And I, my life is just such proof of that. I look back on it, and different things and different jobs that I've had where I'm like, I didn't even know that was a job. I didn't even know that was a thing that I could do.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I'm learning so much more about what I love. It turns out I love live shows and live production and producing entertainment for people. That's what I love the most. And just telling stories and creating entertainment for people is what
I think love. You are the perfect person for that, like your strengths and your gifts, because like you moved here, like, okay, am I going to be a performer? Am I going to be a stand-up comedian? Am I going to be an actor? Like all of these things. I think to be a great producer, you have to have that creativity within you. I think you have to have that moment. Am I the performer or am I the producer? Because you have strengths in that producer realm that entertainers who are just strictly entertainers do not. They don't have that brain. They don't have that organizational skill. They don't have that ability to compartmentalize and break things down to like to produce. And you have that producing brain, as well as the creativity, the personality, the funny, the quick wit, the all of that, and that all goes into whatever project that you are producing. So it may not be you as the actor on the sitcom, but everything that you're doing behind the scenes is helping elevate that joke, that whatever, the pitch of the prop, the pitch of the lighting and whatever, like the producer brain that goes in it, it all goes towards the end product of like, this was great, not only just because this actor did a great job, but because the producing team behind making it happen. And I think you're an incredible person for that role.
Thank you.
And I hope we get to do that together.
Yeah.
I hope we get to...
Absolutely, I want to do that.
Do a sitcom together.
Yes.
And produce and act and from our mouths to God's ears.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah, who's to say God still can't give it to us just later?
Who's to say, just waiting for me?
Yeah. It's just a little detour, a little God detour.
I mean,
and I like to imagine he's up there going, wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
Isn't that fun? Your life is fun.
Yeah, totally.
Go for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope for that.
Yeah, me too.
In
Nashville, we'll create the next
100%
greatest.
We're gonna do it.
Heartland Entertainment.
Not Heartland.
That's what they call it.
So I would say I'm grateful for full circle moments.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for full circle moments.
That's little right. Yeah, a little.
You know, I have another one to contribute to the pot since we're talking about full circles.
Yes. This is a fun category. I wasn't expecting. Yeah.
I had a girl intern for me for a while. And she's my friend now. Love her to death. Bridget. Years and years ago, I guess she tweeted me. And it was something about like she was in like a small group or something. And they asked like what her dream job was. And she was like, I said my dream job would be to work for... at Angela Johnson one day. Something like that, she tweeted. And I guess I replied to her. And I said, I'll keep you in mind or something
Yeah.
Or maybe one day, I replied something.
Yeah.
And I imagine I'm just reading this going like, sure, yeah, hey, whatever, right? That's years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Then years go by. And let me see. This is... before, or I know I was, I don't remember, but this has to be at least 10 to 15 years ago. I'm at a place where I have an assistant, but I'm feeling like I need more help. I'm like, I need an intern. And I reach out to somebody that I know and in a city that's outside of LA, a Christian organization. I'm not going to give any names. A Christian organization in a city outside of LA. And I reach out to this one person. And I said, hey, I'm looking for an intern. Do you know anybody that is moving to LA or is in LA, but from your guys' camp that wants to come and like learn from me and like assist me on things? And he was like, let me put some feelers out. So he gets back to me and he's like, I have a girl that was part of our camp. She moved to Denver, but she's considering moving to LA. She might be perfect for this position. And I was like, okay, cool. What's her name? And it's that girl who tweeted me years prior.
Look at that.
Yes. So when she got the call that was like, hey,
yeah,
Angela Johnson's looking for an intern. Yeah. She was like,
get out of town.
Shut the front door. I'm on my way.
What time? What day? When do you need me?
Right. So she ends up moving to LA. She wasn't even living here. She moves to LA. And then I start feeling a little bit nervous. I'm like, I don't want this girl to move here for me.
Yeah.
Like, let this be. This is part of the Lord talking to you, telling you to come. Not just for me.
Yeah.
And I remember our first meeting, we go and we sit at this restaurant. I'm sitting across from her and I go, I'll be honest, I don't know why you're here.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. I don't have a specific...
had to be nerve-wracking also from her perspective.
Right. I was like, I don't have like a specific job for you. Mm-hmm. I just felt like God was putting it on my heart to have a need for this person, and you're the person to fill this need, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
And it was like one of those like honest moments. I'm like, I don't know why you're here, but you're supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm. And we'll figure it out together.
Yeah. And that was that conversation. What she ended up doing for me, really, she would come over and pray with me.
Oh.
And we would walk in my neighborhood. Okay. And we would pray.
All right.
And like, she would do like some assistant stuff, mm-hmm. but I had an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really more like a spiritual assistant.
And you hired a prayer warrior.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so she just would come and like, would be like a prayer warrior type person, yeah. right? Anyway, cut to, she ends up meeting her husband. And they get married and they go off and do their own thing. And so we talk about, I was like, you weren't here for me.
Oh.
God needed me to put out that I need an intern and you're the person for me. But you weren't here for me. You were here to meet your husband. God had him waiting for you. How was I going to get you to LA? Like the story I said earlier about being all hyped on letter A, like, ooh, and God right there with you, like, yeah, girl, A's gonna be fire. Remember you even tweeted it a long time ago that you wanted to work for Angela? That's gonna be fire. Go, girl, go. But he really needed to get her to C because C was her husband.
Yeah.
That was waiting out here. And now they have a child. Now they're great. They live out, I think, in Denver again. I don't remember. But that was another full circle moment that I got to be a part of that was really special. And super cool. So your husband's right around the corner.
I was like, where's mine? I think I might actually be here for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, you're actually here for me.
Yeah. I do fear that this is a... no. That's so fun.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm racking my brain to try to think of more of those stories, hey, whether it's me or...
If you're listening right now and you have a full circle moment, we would love to hear it. Give them the phone number.
747-300-5380 or fungelapodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, just write it in. And
you can text us too.
Your full circle moment.
Oh my gosh, I would love to hear. I know there's got to be hundreds, thousands.
Yeah. And especially because I feel like full circle moments are super inspiring.
Yes.
Like you hear it and you go, oh, and you start looking for it in your own life.
Exactly. Especially if it's like years in the making. Like mine felt years in the making and could never predict what twists and turns. But, and then also some are very, you know, I feel like, was it Trish? I think had shared sort of a full circle moment.
Oh, with Dolly?
With Dolly, yes. Of just like, even just like little moments like that, or little moments of just reassurance that you are where you're supposed to be and you're doing what you're supposed to do. And I'm very weary of signs, but I know that they're there and they exist. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's something you just have to be, because I'm always going, is this me or is this God? Is this me projecting because this is what I want to see? Or is this truly, you know, that's the eighth person who has said that to me, right, you know, or something where it's like, I can't ignore that. Tell me that. That's what I want to hear. Mm-hmm. Those are so cool and so inspiring.
Fun. Such good stories.
Yeah.
Okay. A mattitude. I said my mattitude was like getting a cold every other weekend since November. Did you have any mattitude? I know we usually start with mattitudes.
But I know. Oh, I'll say this one is very silly, but it happened recently because we were at this pizza place. Every time we're on tour and you ask Mal, where should we get dinner? He gives you a pizza place.
Every now and then he says Indian. And when he does, it's very important that you say no.
Yes. But nothing makes me crazier. And this happened at this restaurant. And it was very good pizza. The guy who owns it, incredible human, lovely. I have the tote bag, big fan. However, it was a circle pizza that he had cut into squares. And I cannot stand that. I cannot stand. Because now they're all the sizes are uneven. There's no even slices. And now I got like
this is why you are a producer.
And now I got weird little like weird square half oval shapes that don't make any sense. And then now I've got a square piece. No crust. Just no. I just got loose pizza. I spit. But it makes me insane. But if it's a square pizza, you cut that into squares. Prime Pizza does a lot of square pizzas. That makes sense. But if it's a circle pizza, give me
triangles.
A triangle normal slice so that I have crust. Because I like the I'm a crust person. I like the crust. I don't want no loose, square, jiggly. What do I hold on to?
Interesting.
That is my
Hey, hot take.
Hot take.
Although I think there's people who actually agree with you. I feel like there are very specific pizza people.
Well, and I feel like a lot of people have hot takes on pizza.
Yeah.
Specifically. There's always the tried and true pineapple, whatever. Right. I find it delicious. And I don't know why it's a big deal.
I have never had it.
People put other stuff on pizza that I can't stand. And I, sir, Bonzo?
Are you okay, son?
Bonzo just popped his head up.
He said, I've been waiting.
He's like, I would like to chime in. And there's also, I have a question now that we're on the pizza talk. Are you a fan? There are places that all they do are just like the classics, the traditional, like I'm thinking of that place in Kansas City. Bomb. So good. Oh, yeah. Providence Pizza, I think. But it was all like your traditional, you know, pepperoni, hot honey, mushroom, beef, whatever. But then there are other places, again, back to the pizza place that cut it into squares, where they did like a brisket and a, you know, there's those places that do like, here's, you know, a hot chicken pizza, or here's your macaroni and cheese pizza. Yeah. Now I'm thinking of the Chinese place. Do you genuinely like those types?
No, I don't. Okay, so here's a hot take for pizza.
Yeah.
I love bacon. I don't love bacon on my pizza.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. It changes the flavor of what's happening.
Makes it too breakfasty.
Bacon is such a distinct, strong flavor.
It takes over.
And now I'm not eating pizza. I'm eating bacon with stuff. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, that's how it feels like. So I guess that would be my hot take. I don't like bacon on pizza. Like, in the meat lovers type thing, give me pepperoni, give me sausage. Mm-hmm. I don't want no bacon.
Yeah.
I don't want no ham.
Yeah, I think my favorite pizza is just pepperoni, just plain pepperoni or a margarita. But I hate cheese.
Girl, same.
I
can't stand it when people go, give me half pepperoni, half cheese. Just take the pepperoni off.
Wait. Yeah. To me, a cheese pizza is the equivalent of a silver car. It looks undone. It looks unfinished.
That is a good one.
Yeah. A silver car to me looks like
primered.
Yeah. A silver car to me looks like you forgot to paint it. And a cheese pizza to me looks like, where are the toppings?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What? Just cheese?
Yeah. This is an appetizer.
I'm taking a lactate for this? No.
Yeah.
No.
But just throw on three circles of pepperoni. Now we're talking.
Little slice of basil. Little leaf of basil. Okay.
Okay. No.
Hold on now.
Back on board.
Wait a minute. But then, hypocritical of me, I love a white pizza where it's just all cheese, no sauce.
Oh, see.
But then it's multiple cheeses.
I have a hard time. That's the difference. I have a hard time with pizzas, with any white pizza where it's no red sauce and it's like a white sauce. I'll eat a bite. I'll never order it.
I'll order it. I think that's the one I kept getting at the Kansas City place.
Yeah, I won't order it.
But I don't love a pizza with pesto sauce. Like when they do that instead of a red sauce.
Oh.
That's when we're getting fancy. That's when they're like, here's my grilled chicken pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go, never mind.
I don't need any of that. Brisket, grilled chicken.
Taco salad pizza.
Yeah, I don't need
that. Like all that random stuff.
Buffalo chicken pizza. I don't need none of that. Oh. I love buffalo chicken, but I don't need none of that.
Yeah.
I don't think I like chicken on my pizza either.
I'm not a big fan of chicken on pizza either.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Pepperoni. Red meats only.
Pepperoni, sausage, bell peppers, black olives.
Oh,
that's all I ever want. Oh, basil. Oh, prosciutto. I guess I do like ham because I like the one with the prosciutto and the arugula.
Prosciutto's okay with me, yes.
I do like that.
Mm-hmm. And the ricotta?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I do like arugula.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
On a little...
I'm hungry.
Piece of pizza. I think we just got hungry. Whoopsie.
I have not eaten today.
Except for this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your Starbies. I had a scrambled egg with the salsa that we got gifted on the bus. I still have it.
Oh, you do? The homemade one?
Yeah. Not the green one. The red one. Oh, the
chunky one?
The red chunky one. Mm-hmm. But did I blend it up? Yes, I did.
Of course you did.
Yeah, because I don't like
chunks. You don't do chunky.
Nope. Mm-mm. So I said, thank you for the salsa. It tastes really good. But you know what would make it taste better? If I blend it up in a blender.
Like, do you have a food processor?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
May I turn you on to something?
Yeah. So I just had a scrambled egg with my salsa.
Hilarious.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
And last night I did have nachos at the game. Nachos is my concession of choice.
Oh, is it?
Well, okay.
Okay, what kind? Hold on. There it is. What kind of nachos? Okay.
So when I'm at a basketball game, nachos. Okay. 100. If I'm at a baseball game,
hot dog. Hot dog.
All day.
Now, I have a question about the nachos. Are you doing like the fancy loaded nachos? Nope.
Chips and cheese, jalapenos.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's it. And the cheese that comes in the little cup.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? And then my favorite part is when you pour it all over and the chip gets like real soggy.
A little bit dangly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not too soggy.
Sure.
Last night we were looking for them, the nachos. Mm-hmm. And the first
Don't they bring it to you when you're in the front row?
That's what I thought. But I guess we weren't actually on the court. We were like the second row back.
And they said, you got to go get your own.
Yeah, they're like, nah, start walking, chick. And the first concession stand we saw was fancy nachos with chipotle queso.
No, I don't want that.
Get out of here. No. I don't want none of this. Mm-hmm.
So what is this, a Chili's?
We walked all the way around to the other side of the arena to just get regular chip mm-hmm. with cheese in a cup and some jalapenos. And we're like, yeah, give me two
delicious.
Of those.
Delicious. Yeah.
I love those.
Usually my go-to for any sporting event is a hot dog. And I don't want the
even indoor?
Yeah, even indoor, basketball, hockey, whoever. I don't want the fancy bacon wrapped. I don't want the street dog with all the stuff. Oh. I want that sometimes.
Yeah. Out on the street. Yeah.
But during the game, I just want the regular degular. It's wrapped up so whenever you take it out, the bun's all kind of like steamed. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then I just slather that thing in mustard.
Yep.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I want that bacon wrapped dog outside on the street. If there's no chance that there is some sort of like bacteria from an uncleaned cart, I don't want it. Like, I will give me that all the juice from the hot dog that has been
and
there.
And I only want it at the end.
End of the night.
End of the night.
Yeah. Have a nice little...
even after, they were even outside of the Pantages last night and I walked by and I was like...
The smell.
And I was like,
It's intoxicating.
I was like, hold on. Do I want that? But I had Shake Shack before, so I said, chill out.
It's like when you're in New York and you come out of the show and it's the smell of those candied nuts.
Oh.
Like, that is such a typical New York smell.
I never want that unless I'm out there and I smell it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm never walking around an indoor place and I smell the candied nuts and go, I want some. No. But have me walking around out in the cold, I'd be like, oh my God.
I'm in Central Park. I'm like, that sounds lovely,
actually.
Give me
a little $5 bag, please. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's what I want.
I will take the cashews.
And I feel like the candied nut smell is very specific New York. And then that Dodger dog smell is very specific LA.
Oh, my gosh. 100%.
Bacon wrap dog.
100%.
Coming out of the club, coming out of a theater. Wherever. Coming out of something.
There was one the other night when I came out of karaoke. And I was like, hey. You're onto something.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our plan was to talk about some friendship stuff.
Sure was. That's the second time now that we've attempted.
We could still do a little bit of friendship stuff. We have some time.
Okay.
We're going to do like Mattitude Gratitude within friendship. You started off with your friendship Mattitude.
Okay. This is so weird. But I stand by it. I have a whole list of things. This is what I wrote. I wrote, people who use the term friends, quote, when describing anyone they've ever met. And here's what I mean by that is I feel like this is something that has evolved over time. I was probably used to be that person that would just be like, oh, yeah, my friend, I have a friend who works here. I have a friend who blah, 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 whatever. And I think now at this point in my life, I hold my friends very close and dearly to my heart, to where I now view that term as a very strong term of endearment. And it's almost like you got to earn the title of friend.
Yeah.
And so whenever I hear somebody be like, oh, what's wrong with your car? My friend's a mechanic. No, you just know a mechanic.
Yeah.
That you're friendly with. But yeah. I'm like, did you text that person within the past week?
Yeah.
Not really your friend. You know, or do you guys only talk via email because, oh, I've got a friend over at this company. No, you're just colleagues.
Acquaintances
yeah. or whatever. And I say that knowing that that's changed over the years. And it's just because I've gone through a lot of changes with friends and I've been hurt by some friends. And so I just cherish the friendships that I have so, so much and have been through a lot of stuff with those friends that I now just don't view that term lightly.
Yeah.
And I'd rather would say, oh, I know somebody here, you know, they're a good acquaintance, like we're friendly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may be able to help me out in this situation, or I might be like, oh, you know, I wish I knew somebody who worked for this company. Oh, I think I do. Let me introduce you. Yeah. But it's not my friend.
Right. I totally hear where you're coming from. I think I lean towards that thought in conversation. I think I'm the person who says, oh, I know this one girl who blah, 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 as opposed to my friend, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah. I think I lean more towards that, but I will choose the convenient conversation
sure.
in certain situations where it's just like, oh yeah, my friend told me the story about blah, 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 mm-hmm. as opposed to this girl I know told me this, whatever.
Right.
In certain situations, I think I'll choose the convenience of just labeling it friend.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those like in the moment deciding like what does this conversation deserve, mm-hmm. you know? But I do think I lean towards reserving the word friend for actual friends, mm-hmm. unless it's convenience based.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, there's just certain times where I've heard somebody else say that and I'm like, that's not your friend.
Uh-huh.
Just say you know somebody. Just say, hey, our contacts or our my colleague or, you know, it's such a dumb thing that bothers me. Like I sometimes get annoyed that I'm annoyed by it.
I have a friend question.
Okay.
This just popped into my head right now. If one of your friends is no longer friends with person A, do you also become no longer friends with person A? They've done you no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But your friend, who you love,
mm-hmm.
had a falling out with that person.
Mm-hmm.
You're closer with this person than mm-hmm. person A over there.
Yeah.
Do you say, okay, well, then I'm also not friends with them anymore? Or how do you handle that?
It's tricky because when I think about that in my real life, the people that I'm not friends with sort of cut off everybody else. It was kind of, it just naturally happened to where we all just stopped talking to that person. And they, I truly cannot think of a situation where I continued to talk to somebody who didn't want to talk to somebody else. There have also been times where I maybe don't know somebody as well, or I have a friend that I met. Let's say I have friend B who I met through friend A, and I only know them because of friend A. And friend A goes, I don't talk to them anymore. Then I go, okay, well, then I guess I'm not talking to them anymore either.
Right.
But I'm also I'm thinking of a specific example, and I'm like, but I only ever hung out with them with you anyway.
Yeah.
We weren't ever.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, that's your friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm with you both.
Yeah.
But then in another instance of me not talking to a specific friend anymore, she kind of burned us all.
Yeah.
As a collective group.
Yeah.
So
that's different.
That's different. But I can't think of a real world example. There is one person that I am thinking of that I sort of stopped talking to, but then she sort of cut everybody else off. And so everyone else just naturally, we just over time, like, oh,
yeah,
wonder how she's doing. Don't know.
I feel like this is something that if we're taken to the internet, there are people out there in the world that feel that there are hard and fast rules in this.
Oh, absolutely.
That, nope, if your close friend had a falling out with this person that you're also friends with, and you're closer with them, then you got to cut them off too. I feel like there's people that would make that hard and fast rule. But yeah. I don't think it's a hard and fast rule.
I don't think so either.
Depends on the situation.
I think it's
each person. And because I think of somebody in my life who had questioned, why was I still friends with this person after they stopped being friends with them? Mm-hmm. And was like, you know, like, all the things that they did to me, like, why would you be friends with them still? And I think about that person and how that person is always not friends with somebody anymore. There's a new person that this person is no longer friends with. Hey, I'm not friends with that person no more. I'm not friends with that person no more. And in that situation,
common denominator situation,
I'm like, they didn't do nothing wrong to me.
Yeah.
They're lovely people. I think you guys had a falling out and a misunderstanding. And if you don't want to talk to them and be friends with them anymore, that's, I support you in that.
And I think that's, to me, in friendship, that's a red flag of something where I have a friend who's constantly being like, I don't talk to that person anymore. I don't talk to that person anymore. I, whatever. And to me, I'm like, what's going on to where all these people, all these people were mean to you? All these people did you wrong? This doesn't make any sense. Because that, in my scenario of the person that I'm thinking of that I no longer speak to, it, in the beginning, it was something where she had issues with all my friends. And then there was even a time where she was like, well, I'll just talk to you and you can talk to your friends, but I won't talk to them. And I was like, okay. But because I valued that friendship and I valued my other friendships, I was like, okay, I'll try to make this work.
Yeah, what a tough position.
And it was terrible. And then, but then it made me, there was a moment where I started to like really reflect on our friendship and I started to realize I was her only friend. And I remember being like, well, what happened to this friend? Oh, she did me wrong. What happened to this friend? Oh, she did me wrong. And I'm suddenly being like, hold on, there's a common denominator here and it's not me, it's you. And you're now hurting people that I love. And so I can't. And now in turn, you're hurting me.
Yeah. That's so, a tough one.
Yeah. I think it's very situational. And yeah, it just, I think that's why I value the word friend so much. Because I went through this big thing and suddenly my friends are so important to me and I want to cater and take care of them. And because I know how much they mean to me in my life and I in turn hope I mean as much to them. I think I do. And we sort of all went through this dramatic thing together.
What was your gratitude in regards to friendships?
My biggest gratitude, I think, is my how my friendships have evolved over the past few years in working with you and having this very on the road travel lifestyle to where there are so many times where I blaze in and I'm like, I'm here for a week. What do you guys want to do? You want to hang out? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm very grateful that my friends are very accommodating and adaptive to that and don't, I'm sure there are times where it maybe is annoying.
Yeah.
They haven't told me that yet, but my friends are also very honest with me. And I also have, I very much had a moment too where I was like, hey, I'm only in town for these 3 days. If anybody can hang out, that's great. If nobody can, I also understand. Like, I'm not asking you to change your schedule for me. And I know that I'm going to miss things and I know that I'm going to miss birthdays and gatherings or even trips. I'm going to be a day late in arriving or something, but I'm like, still, I asked them, I was like, can you still tell me about them? Can you still invite me? Like, just know that, you know, I'm going to show up when I can. And so, really cool. And I'm really grateful that they haven't just been like, because there are other people that I know, and I would argue that they are more acquaintances at this point. I'm hesitant to say friends simply because they're not checking in with me. They're not, you know, hey, are you in town? And it was like, well, yeah, I was in town for a whole month. Did you not see me posting or see me? I texting other group chats that were in. Now I'm gone for 2 weeks. Like, oh, you just missed me, but I was here. And so those people, I'm kind of like, I don't know that we're that close, you know, like, and that's okay.
And that's okay. That's friendship okay. Seasons change.
Yeah.
And I think when you try to hold on to the definition of this particular friendship, mm-hmm. because it was this during this season of your life, mm-hmm. and it's not that anymore, I think that's when maybe like resentment can come mm-hmm. in, because there's false expectations now, mm-hmm. but we're not the same people anymore. We don't have the same time commitments anymore. We don't have blah, 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 blah anymore. And I think that's when hurt can get invited mm-hmm. into the equation, when we try to hold on to an old definition of something,
totally.
As opposed to embracing new. And I feel like, I've gone through that with mm-hmm. friendships, obviously being in this job sure. for over 20 years now. And for a while I thought all my friends, I'm like, they get it. They understand my life. They're cool with it. Mm-hmm. They know I'm coming in and out, whatever. But I've actually had a few friends voice to me like, hey, this is not working. Mm-hmm. Like, and not just my traveling, but they're like, you're also not checking in and being like, hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I've had a couple of those conversations where I've had to look at myself and be like, you're right. I'm not being a good friend to you right now. Mm-hmm. To have that title of best friend, like, oh, you're one of my best friends. Yeah. You're right. I'm not being that to you right now. But at the same time, I look at my life and how my life has changed, and I can't be that mm-hmm. for you right now. Mm-hmm. So maybe we're not best friends.
Mm-hmm.
We still really love each other.
Sure.
But we're not the definition that we were mm-hmm. 10 years ago, because things change in life.
Yeah.
And we love each other dearly, but I can't be that person that I was, especially in like time commitment, especially mm-hmm. now that I have Rosie and now this and that, woo-woo mm-hmm. and the other thing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like being able to adjust and accept.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, it's just changed.
Yeah.
And we still love each other. And
exactly. That's, you know, I think, again, that's why I'm so grateful for this tight group of friends that I have, because, you know, recently we got back from the bus tour on Super Bowl Sunday, and I was so exhausted. I don't sleep well on the bus. And so as soon as I got home, I passed out on my couch for 3 hours. That was not my intention. I just was like, I'm just going to lay down real quick.
Power nap.
And I was, I mean, unconscious, fully just woke up going, where am I? And, but then woke up and wanted to go to my friend's Super Bowl party. And I very much just was like, I'm just going to show up. I don't have anything to bring. I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. I can't contribute anything. And I was like, I'm probably just going to fall asleep on the couch. And they said, get on over here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I'm so appreciative of the amount of times that I literally say, I don't have anything to contribute. I can't. The Southern person in me is like, I don't have anything to bring.
Yeah.
I can't come. And I'm like, and I'm basically asking them, like, can you just accept me for where I'm at right now?
Yeah.
And they do. And it's so, that to me is why I'm like, these are my friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they've seen me at my lowest and my highest and my craziest and my, you know, hey, go touch grass moments, you know, like, and I've seen them at theirs as well. And, you know, and we all work really hard, and it's just, you know, they check in, I check it with them. Like, and I'm saying it goes both ways. Like, even those other friend, quote, acquaintances that I was saying, who are always like, you're never here, you're never in town. And I go, did you ask? You didn't ask. Mm-hmm. But then I'm also going, but I'm also not reaching out to them either.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely, friendship is a two-way street. And totally. It is just a matter of, you know, it's hard. It's hard because you have to, you're basically deciding, is this person worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not easy.
Yeah.
And makes, and can fill you with guilt sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
And, but also, I don't know, again, I don't know if it's just because I'm older and you, it's different to have friends who are going through adult things with you.
Yeah.
Versus,
yeah,
friends you had in high school, you know, where you're like, well, my math test, you know, sure, or something. And we're now dealing, I'm now also at this age where I've got friends who are dealing with their parents having health issues,
yeah,
that they're having to take care of, and dealing with, they've got kids now, or, you know, dealing with getting married and the having issues with parents just involving the wedding and just these very real things to where other stuff just seems so whatever.
Yeah.
Like, totally. Oh, I'm sorry I missed your Valentine's Day brunch. Ugh.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. Whatever.
Man, friendships are hard. Friendships are complicated, mm-hmm, but they're super beautiful. And you realize you don't have enough of you to give to all the people that you want to give to. And so you have to be wise and choose, like, mm-hmm, I choose you to give, mm-hmm, of myself to right now. I have this minimal piece of me, mm-hmm, available to give, and I choose to give it to you. I hope you choose to give back to me so we could just, like, have our our thing going, and our, we understand, pieces, like, I only have this little piece. I only have this little piece. Okay, good. You, yeah, know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we'll both give just little pieces of ourselves.
Yes. And because there are those occasions where you're like, I have a lot to give.
Yeah.
I have a whole bedroom in my apartment. Get in, yeah, here. Yeah. You know?
Totally. Or
different things like that.
Totally. Well, this is a fun conversation. Love the full circle stuff. If you have any full circle moments you want to contribute, yes, please call us, email us. Oh, do we have a voicemail or anything to listen to?
I have a few. Yes.
Yeah, let's listen to some.
Okay. Yes. Ready? Here we go.
Go ahead. Hi, my name is Lachlan. Hi, my name is Lachlan. And how old are you? I'm going to turn 7. Mm-hmm. And what are you grateful for? I'm going to go see you. In Aspen. In Aspen. For your birthday. For my birthday. And you listen to her every day. And I listen to her every day.
This is Lachlan's mom. He's calling with my permission, and he is very excited. For his birthday, he wanted to come see Angela Johnson in Aspen, because we live in Colorado, and he every night he listens to Angela before he goes to bed. And he quotes her jokes all the time. So thank you, Angela. We're grateful for you and for your fun comedy that we can both enjoy. There's a lot of kid comedy that parents can't enjoy, and vice versa. So it is just such a gift to have somebody who we both love.
Oh, have a great day. That's really special. Lachlan and Lachlan's mommy, thank you for calling. We should put them on the meet and greet list for Aspen so we could say hi to, mm-hmm, Lachlan. Give him a big hug. 7 years, yes, old. Cutie. He listens to me every night. Oh, my God.
So cutie.
It's so funny how, like, something becomes your thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, oh, I got to watch it every night before bed. Or I got to listen, mm-hmm, to that song. And
yeah.
And for me to be somebody's thing.
Yes.
And especially a young person like that. To be their thing. I think that's so cute, yeah, and so special. And I'm very grateful for you, Lachlan, sweetie cutie pie. Can't wait to meet you in Aspen. That was cute. Do you have any more you want to play?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do one more.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, Angela. My name is Luis. My attitude is when I'm at the grocery store and someone is always in front of some place that I need to get to, like in front of the the deli meat, and I'm just trying to get my little turkey, little sliced turkey. Mm-hmm. But then someone is always standing in front of it, and they're just taking their sweet time, uh-huh. and they have to get into their personal space or wait behind them like a creep. I hate uh-huh. that. Just look at it, get something, go. And then I am grateful for the cold weather because it makes my cat a little cuddlier. Usually not a cuddly cat. So with this cold weather, he likes to sap our heat, which I'll take any form of cuddly. And so I am thankful for that. And I'm also thankful for you and all of the beautiful little pieces of our micro language that you have given to me and my husband. Aww. So thank you for that.
I love that. Thank you, Louise.
Oops, sorry.
Okay, thank you, Louise, for calling in. I love that Louise going to put that AC on full blast when it's the summertime because he's like, I'm going to try to get these cuddles from mm-hmm. this cat.
Yes.
That's adorable.
And nothing aggravates me more than people who dilly-dally at the grocery store.
Yeah. I think I might be a dilly-dallier.
Yeah. But also, here's my other beef because I was just at Trader Joe's the other day where I am in front and I am clearly like pulling out something and some woman moves my cart and gets and like basically cuts me off.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I was just grabbing this thing.
And I'm also like, you could have said, excuse me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Where's the manners?
I feel like I dilly-dally, but also I am aware. Like I'll dilly-dally, yeah. Especially if I like have time and I'm like, what else does Trader Joe's have right now? Right. Especially Trader Joe's because they always have something new.
Yeah. But I wasn't dilly-dallying. I was in the, I knew exactly mm-hmm. what I was grabbing. I had my hand on my cart and she moved my cart and I was like, what?
Not with a hand on the cart.
I did because it took, that's how I noticed she moved the cart.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. And I was like, it's a bacon emergency.
Strange.
She had to get it real quick.
Yeah. She was in a hurry.
I feel like sometimes at Trader Joe's, I feel like people forget the laws of society. That is a wild west out there.
Well, thank you all for listening to this episode of Fungula. Don't forget to call us, contribute your gratitude or your mattitude, or if you have a question, you need some advice, mm-hmm. call us and ask us, and we'll give you our 2 cents. Mm-hmm. We'll throw our 2 cents in the pot and see if you like it. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like and subscribe, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Leave reviews, comments.
Yeah. Do all that stuff.
All that stuff.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.